Thank you very much. So yes, I'm Tristan Beyer from the University of Illinois. And today I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about whether soybeans respond to management, and if so, which management factors might we consider for implementing to increase soybean yields. When I talk to growers, often there's a perception that soybean yields have plateaued, and there's not necessarily the yield increase that we've seen with that compared to corn. However, as the data shows from the USDA, or the on the left axis, you'll see the grain yield in kilograms per hectare, and the right axis, the grain yield in bushels per acre. We can see that based on the individual years, that the yield has gone and increased at a fairly constant rate of over 20 kilograms per hectare per year, indicating that soybeans have been increasing their yields. A large portion of this increase has been attributed to genetic modifications. However, there are agronomic advancements that we have made. The question is, you know, of the agronomic practices that are out there, which ones are most likely to provide advancements for agronomic responses in soybeans? And that's one of the questions we're addressing to answer. Now, from a grower standpoint, there's a couple other questions. You know, if they're under a couple different management levels, which ones are they most likely to adapt or change to try to increase their yields? And then if so, you know, which management factors should they possibly implement to see an increase in yield? And I guess when I look at, you know, the different agronomic factors that are available to growers, our hypothesis is that not all management factors are created equal. They're going to have different yield responses, and that might vary across the region. And for us, we wanted to address that throughout the state of Illinois. We did this by conducting 11 different trials at three different locations in 2014 and 2015. To do this, we evaluated across a range and diversity of genetics, ranging from a few different seed companies, using their seed protection and foliar protection products. We had five primary objectives or management practices that we are characterizing, as shown here. The five different practices would be fertility, primarily banded phosphorus fertility or broadcast potassium, or a combination of the two, as well as foliar protection, seed treatment, different row spacings, and relative maturity. We were able to evaluate these across a split plot design across six replications per site. And to do this, there's a few things that we took into account. So to start with, for the fertility aspect, we used some of the best 4R management practices to implement our fertility program. That being, we adapted better fertilizer sources, being the premium phosphorus fertilizers like that of Microessentials SC that would contain multiple nutrients within the same granule. And we applied it at a rate that we based on our yield objective goals of 84 kilograms of P2O5 per hectare. We applied it in a way that would ensure that the plant could have optimal access to the nutrients, or placed 10 to 15 centimeters directly underneath the row. And you can see that as shown here, where we banded our fertility with our tractors that are equipped with guidance using RTK technology that allows for repeatability, pass-to-pass operations with sub-inch accuracy. We compare that to our broadcast fertilizer applications of potash, and we did this so that we would mitigate any potential salt or injury effects that we might see with broadcast application of higher salt products like potash. Now, when we did this, we come back in and we had plant directly underneath the top of the row, using again tractors equipped with RTK guidance, and that we'd ensure that we'd see good repeatability in pass-to-pass operations. We very consistently see early season growth responses from our management factors. Here's an example of phosphorus. In both cases, we banded fertility. We took the banded toolbar through both plots. So on the left, received no fertilizer, but the soil test would be on the low side of optimum. And then on the right, the banded the toolbar also went through, but here we just see the response from fertilizer alone, indicating with the larger growth that we're seeing sets a potential for greater yields. Now, this is one example that we saw from our different management factors. How can other management factors that we incorporated into our management systems be applied in a way that we can increase yield through a systematic approach? Our systematic approach would be that of our standard versus high input management systems. I show you here our standard management in orange, a Illini orange, by the way. And our standard management would consist of P and K based off of soil test values or no fertilizer applied. Then foliar protection, there was no foliar protection applied. Seed treatment was either no seed treatment or ideally untreated seed, but in cases where we weren't able to get untreated seed, it was a base fungicide seed treatment only, and then row spacing was 76 centimeter rows. When we compare that to our high input system in blue, we would see that the phosphorus was applied at 84 kilograms of P2O5 per hectare, applied in a band, while our potassium was applied as a spire broadcast. And then a combination of the P and K could be applied together to see if there was any interactions of them being applied together. Foliar protection was applied at the R3 growth stage of soybean, which was applied prophylactically as a fungicide and insecticide tank mixture. And then seed treatment was a complete seed treatment, including the insecticide on top of the fungicide, and as well as sometimes a nematicide seed treatment. And row spacings were narrowed to 20-inch rows. Now, looking at these management factors, there might be several, you know, the question is whether these all have the same responses or not, or if they can work together to create better responses in a management program. One way that we can evaluate this is using an addition-omission plot design, as I show here. Now, we can use the analogy of, you know, a basketball team, where we have two different teams, our high-input team, which might be your professional team, or that of your standard management would be your high school team. One at a time, we're going to see if we replace the player of the high school team onto the high to the professional team and see if we pull down the performance of our better team. At the same time, we can put a high player into the standard management and see if we can increase the performance of the standard management. One at a time, we can go through each of the different players or management factors and see how much yield influence it has according to each of those teams or management practices. We did this across both row spacings and across two relative maturities. Now, while relative maturities did not have an interaction with these treatments, we did see a fairly good yield response from a full season management or full season relative maturity compared to that of the early season. While they've ranged only from about 0.3 bushels per or 0.3 relative maturity group on average, we still saw over 70 kilograms per hectare yield increase between the full season to the early season. Now, if we look at the different management factors that we showed here, I'm going to start with the standard management, looking at just the orange. How much yield increase are we going to see by applying one management factor to these? And I can show you those here. We have a 4,116 kilogram per hectare yield from our standard management. One at a time, I'll go through, you know, each of our different management factors to see how much yield increase or influence it had on applying it to the management, standard management program. When we added the phosphorus, we increased yield by 276 kilograms per hectare. The little star would indicate that we saw a significant yield increase at the 0.05 alpha value. When we look at potassium, we actually did not see a yield difference, which is interesting because oftentimes potassium is thought of being one of the most responsive nutrients for soybean production. And we actually saw a 10 to go backwards. When we look at the combination of P and K together, it was actually a near additive effect of the P and K individually that we saw, where phosphorus was our main contributing factor to the increase in yield. Foliar protection resulted in 173 kilogram per hectare increase. Seed treatment, while not significant, it did increase the yield by about 80 kilograms per hectare. And then row spacing was the second largest effect of 253 kilograms per hectare. Now I can compare this to our standard or our high input system. Now I'll be looking at the blues. How much influence does it cost us by not contributing to a factor into our high input situations? So our high input factors, you'll notice that we increased yield to 4,962 kilograms per hectare. And now we're looking at the cost of omitting or not including a management factor in our high input system. If we left phosphorus out, we lost 278 kilograms per hectare. If we left potassium out, we saw no change. And we left out the combination of P and K. It was, again, nearly additive, whereas 264 kilograms per hectare, primarily driven by the phosphorus. Foliar protection, if we left that out, is 182 kilograms per hectare. Seed treatment, 123, which is larger than what we saw in standard. And then the row spacing, by going to a wider rows compared to the narrower rows, we lost 392 kilograms per hectare. Now I can compare these two, you know, systems next to each other. And you can see that, on average, the high input had a few more asterisks indicating that some of the management factors were more important underneath the high input situations, indicating that might be where we need to address some more of our management. Now, there's other question that comes to mind is, how do these work together? Now, in corn, there's been some research that show that synergies can exist and that we can determine that the management factors work together. However, I don't believe it's ever been documented in soybeans. And we can evaluate that by taking the individual management factors that are statistically important under standard management, and if their sum does not add up to the difference of our high input compared to their standard, it indicates that multiple management factors are working together comparing our management systems. I can show you that here in our way that we evaluate synergisms, where our difference between our high input versus standard is 846 kilograms per hectare. Here I show you the confidence interval of the lower limit and higher limit of 95% level. And then here would be the 703 kilograms per hectare, which is the sum of the different individual statistically significant management factors under the standard management. Since this 703 is less than our confidence interval of our management system's yield difference, indicating that there was a synergism that we were seeing between management factors. Now, what are the key takeaways? I guess the main one was, yes, soybeans can respond to management. And particularly from our results across Illinois, phosphorus was a main driver of some of that when we were banding it, which is different from what we typically might expect, where potassium is often thought of being a large response, but we did not necessarily see that. Relative maturities are going to a fuller season. RM provides opportunities for growers to, you know, increase yield at little to no expense by just selecting a different RM. And, you know, synergies do exist among the different cultivars available, especially when we're going to a narrow row system compared to when we were in a wider row system. Finally, I guess there is other future work that we can look to the future to try to address, and even within this study of itself. If we think of soybeans compared to other crops that are, you know, really driving for yield, you know, soybeans also is driven for a quality crop, you know, protein and oil. How do we address that? And that's something that we'll look at further. Obviously, there's always the economics. And while I did not show that here today, the economics is in the background because management input factors are always changing, as well as our commodity prices. You know, thirdly, obviously there's differences between environmental sites. I'll be able to separate some of these site locations out and determine how can we better predict when a response might occur. And then obviously a stunning question to us is, why does potassium, did that not necessarily increase the yield like what we would typically suspect? And finally, you know, agronomic input sources, we can always change those based on the individual sources, rates, or application methods that we apply. So tweaking those and understanding how they relate is also important. Finally, I'd like to thank some of the funding support that we've received over the 2017. I have them listed here in alphabetical order, not the amount of support that they've given us. So much appreciation to them. And there is a little bit of information on our crop physiology. It's crop physiology, not psychology, website. So with that, I'd be glad to take any questions.
Got 2 minutes for questions.
Yes.
I've got a question. When you went to the narrow rows, a lot of growers are concerned about closing up that canopy, getting diseases because of that. Did you see an interaction between your foliar and foliar applications of plant protectants versus your narrow rows?
Yeah, so the question was whether we saw an interaction between our foliar protection and narrow rows. Specifically, we did not see a large interaction between that specific treatment, largely because we did not see a lot of foliar disease pressure across a lot of these sites, ones that we would have been alarmed of to begin with. Some of the foliar responses that we were seeing were from the strobilurin type effects or better plant health throughout the season. That being said, in our high input situations when we were going in narrow rows, we were seeing some of the synergy, so the response was a little bit better. Yes. Yeah, so the question is, you know, what was perhaps maybe the economical analysis behind this? And while I did not go into that today, you know, the question obviously is, you know, which management factors might be most important or more expensive than others. Granted, from these, there's practices that are, you know, no-brainers to adopt. If you can just select a little bit different variety, that's not really going to be an additional expense. If you have the ability to go to narrower rows, that's, and you have the equipment already, you know, do that. And then you can start to look at the factors such as your foliar protection, seed treatments, and fertility that might have different effects. You know, for us, you know, potassium in this case was not responsive, you know, regardless, so we know that wouldn't work. You know, the phosphorus, we saw very good yield responses from there. We can dive into that further, and it might be a good opportunity to increase yield, whether it's going to pay always or depending on whether we have to build our soil test or whether you're using the right rate, that's going to come up to whether it pays every single time. So the question was, what were the soil test levels? So for ours, they were on the low side of optimum. They're about 20 to 25 ppm for phosphorus, that's a malic 3. And then for potassium, they're around 130 ppm for potassium.
Alrighty, let's thank the speaker.